Well, how you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
MH 100.
Peyton Prince.
Potter Jones.
Adam Henry.
TJ Laramie. And you're listening to Windy City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Drake DeMore, and you're listening to Wind City Sports, Windsor's only local sports radio program and podcast on CJAM 99.1 FM, where we are now reaching higher ground in Windsor and Detroit. New episodes of Wind City Sports drop here on CJAM every Thursday, live at 8 p.m. Replays are now on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. You can hear all of our old shows on SoundCloud, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcast. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and of course on our brand new WindCitySports.com. Check that out to listen to every single podcast, the most recent episodes, and get updates on upcoming guests, and much, much more. Today is Thursday, August 30th, 2018, and it is episode 111 of Wind City Sports. We've had a lot of good guests lately, and there's been a lot going on in Windsor. We have a lot to talk about later on in the show, but we're going to keep those good guests rolling. This week on Wind City Sports, it's Windsor's own Ed Jovanovsky. Ed joins me on the show to talk about growing up in Windsor and playing for the Windsor Spitfires, talk about his NHL career in Florida and in Vancouver, briefly touch upon Phoenix, and we also talk about what he's up to nowadays out in Florida, what he's doing to keep himself busy. And then following that, like we always do, we're going to break down some local sports news. Should have a lot of time today to talk about the Windsor Lancers. We have football, soccer, and basketball starting up soon. Soccer and football have already kicked off, so lots of news about them, as well as our Spitfires, Windsor Express, and much more. But before we get into the interview, it's back, the Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week via GoLancers.ca. We always cover the Athletes of the Week via their site during the school season. So kicking things off this season is football's Alex Bornet and women's soccer's Alexis Provost. In her Lancer debut, Lexi had a solid weekend for the Blue and Gold. Traditionally a defenseman, the Windsor native played up front to help an injury-riddled lineup and ended up playing the full 90 minutes in both of the Lancers' games over the weekend. Alex had an explosive night for the Blue and Gold as he landed in the end zone on 50% of his catches to register a hat-trick. The Tecumseh, Ontario native finished the game with 172 yards, receiving on 6 catches and 3 touchdowns. So more on those games later on the show, as well as some upcoming events and news and stuff like that. But without further ado, right now we're going to get right into the interview with Jovo, Ed Jovanovsky. And then following that, we're going to break down some local sports news. First, so here we go. Just thank you for taking the time to do this, Ed.
Yeah, no problem.
So I just want to start off by talking about growing up here in Windsor. Were you always a big hockey fan growing up? Did you play hockey and stuff like that?
Yeah, I always watched, you know, hockey as a kid. But my dad, you know, with a soccer background, up to age 11, I played soccer. That was a sport I played as a kid, but it definitely every Saturday night street hockey, I would play it as a kid for sure.
Do you remember the hockey scene here as a kid? Like, did you go a lot of Spitz games? Were you playing for Windsor Minor or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I went to a handful of Spitz game. You know, I think once I started playing for Windsor Minor at age 11, I went to a few more. But as you know, in travel hockey, you're practicing daily. You got, you know, tournaments on the weekend, so there's really not much time to kind of get away and catch a game. So.
Yeah, for sure. It can be very busy. And so as we know, you actually spent a few seasons with the Spitfires. Was it cool to play for your hometown team at the time?
Yeah, it all worked out good with Ottawa being the number one team that was picking. It's pretty much in the OHL, you can't get any further away from your hometown. So with Windsor picking too, it worked out just perfect. Got to stay at home. Not change my surroundings around me. Continue going to the same school, same friends, and obviously being home, having mom and dad there to take care of you.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, everything you need is there.
Yep.
So I want to run through your professional career as well. During your time with the Spitzes, when you were drafted to Florida first overall, just after their first season there, what was your reaction to that at the time?
My first year in Florida?
Yeah, just them being a new team and, you know, being drafted first overall to them.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think as a player heading into the draft, I think you just want to get your foot into the door. Being drafted is one thing, and going to training camp is another, and kind of the steps moving forward to make the team. But, you know, it was a newer organization, being a top pick. I knew that, you know, the opportunity is going to be great to play. And, yeah, it was a whirlwind of a season. You know, I kind of broke my hand early on. I missed the first 11 games. Came back. I don't think we lost the game in 10 games. And it was a pretty consistent year for us, finishing fourth that year and having home ice. And that's just a playoff run to experience, kind of going through all, overcoming all those hurdles, playing some really good teams. And then reaching the finals was, as a teenager, it was a pretty neat experience.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to Vegas now that I'm thinking about it and hearing it from you, you know.
Yeah, Vegas had a little bit more talent than we did. You know, the expansion draft is obviously, there hasn't been many of them, but if you look at the crop that Vegas had to pick from, it's certainly a lot different than the team Florida was assembled with, where guys were pretty much, if they weren't taken by the Panthers, probably were done their career. So, you know, a lot of these guys had a second crack at it, made the most of it. And for a young guy coming in to watch the work ethic by these old guys that are pretty much not old guys, you know, and we had 25 to 35, you know, range group, but guys that really, you know, busted their ass and really kind of, you know, did it the right way. And I think a lot of that came from Roger Nielsen, his brief tenure there in Florida, you know, really kind of showed these guys how hard to work and what it takes to win.
Yeah, what I was kind of getting at with Vegas is that, you know, it's a new team and kind of a weird spot where you don't think that hockey would pop up or be successful like Vegas or Florida. But eventually you got traded to the Canucks in Vancouver. Was it cool to play for a Canadian team?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think, you know, I think as a young kid, my daughter was 6 months old at the time. She's just about to turn 20. You know, I think when you get that call, it was like, whoa. I was like, yeah, you've been traded where? Vancouver. I'm like, it can't get any further away.
Yeah, for real.
You know, so things happen quick from getting the phone call to being traded to on a flight the next morning, meeting the team in Dallas, playing back-to-back Dallas, Nashville. So things happen, you know, pretty quick. So for a young guy to adjust, you know, it went smoothly. Organizations treat their players well and make you feel at home. But 7.5 years in Vancouver, was great. It's a hockey market. The team was a little bit on edge when we first got there. But then the rest of probably the five and a half, six years was toughest ticket in town. So it was totally different from Florida, where they eat, sleep, and breathe hockey every day. 24-hour radio, talk show, TV. So it is really a hockey hotbed. You know, those, you know, differences from organization, but it was great to experience playing in a Canadian city.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like you said, it's like a hockey town. I figured when you get there, you're like, this is it. This is hockey.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, our job is to play hockey, whether where you're playing in Florida, Vancouver, St. Louis, wherever you're playing. Your job is to play hockey, and you love doing that. So for me, after getting the family transition kind of settled in, got our place, It really is the most beautiful place in North America when the sun's out. We had a tough time leaving there in 2006, for sure.
I was just going to bring that up too. Like, what a beautiful spot to be living in too, right?
Vancouver or Phoenix?
Both, I guess. But, you know, Vancouver is just phenomenal, if you ask me.
Yeah, Vancouver. Brian Burke always used to say it was a privilege playing in Vancouver. It really is a beautiful city. It's got great restaurants. The people are very friendly. Pretty diverse town. But yeah, it was, you know, you're walking around, you know, people know you're a Vancouver Canuck. I mean, it's just the way it is. It comes with the responsibility of playing in Vancouver, and you're a known, you know, person in the public there. So it was a neat experience. And my kids were kind of growing up there, so they got to experience kind of how crazy of a market it is. So it was neat.
Yeah, for sure. Just having that atmosphere there too as well, right? But, you know, aside from your NHL career, you played in a lot of international tournaments as well, among the World Cup, the Olympics, World Juniors. Were those tournaments always something that you reached out to be part of, something that you always wanted to be involved in?
For sure. It's, you know, World Junior, every kid dreams of, and I still watch it, you know, on here being down in Florida. The World Cup is obviously a little bigger magnitude than the World Championships. World Championships were always kind of a disappointment because you missed the playoffs and you're going to play for your country when they call. But that being said, I mean, you know, when they call, you kind of answer and you go play for your country. But it was always an honor, you know, to put on that jersey and represent your country.
Oh, for sure, man. It's definitely an honor to represent your country. I just feel like maybe some guys might have different aspirations, different goals, and maybe just working towards their NHL career, maybe not focusing or worrying about those opportunities. You know, everyone might have a different mindset.
From the international to the NHL, or
yeah, like maybe some guys are just focusing on the NHL, where it's like a year-to-year thing rather than the Olympics or the tournaments that are just every couple of years or whatever.
Yeah, I think the NHL is obviously your primary focus, as it, you know, it's kind of what you're doing in the club team you're playing for. You know, but the leagues, you know, at the time, I mean, with the World Cup being introduced and having that tournament around, I think guys just eat it up. I mean, it's the best of the best. It's great hockey, and when obviously with the Olympics, you're having the opportunity to play in the Olympics. I mean, we all grew up watching the Olympics, and you know, to be a part of it is a pretty neat experience. From experiencing the village to all the different athletes, you know, it was definitely an experience I'll never forget.
Yeah, just like you said, just playing with the best of the best. That's why I love watching it.
Yeah.
It's the best hockey you're going to see in 4 years.
Even as a player, I mean, you look at it like that, you're kind of one of 22 or whatever, you know, how many guys they took. But, you know, you're chosen for one of those guys out of a whole crop of, you know, players to represent your country, and you know the hockey is going to be great. You know, the magnitude is going to be, you know, the highest it is, you know, it can be. And experience that was definitely was a neat experience.
Yeah, it's always a great time when Olympic hockey comes around. But let's talk a little bit about life after hockey, if you don't mind. Just based on your area code there, it seems like you're still living in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm in Boca Raton, Florida.
So I guess you really enjoyed your time living there with the Panthers, and you ended up just kind of sticking around, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I first came down here, it was definitely something that I thought, hey, I'm going to, you know, live here full time. You know, my kids were born here. They all kind of went through schooling a lot of the time here. We left for 13 years with Vancouver and Phoenix, but for the most part, we would come back here during the off season. Always kept residency here in Florida, and now being done, yeah, I love it down here. It's a little hot in the summertime, but the winter time is just it's just beautiful, and you know, I enjoy it down here.
Yeah, it's probably perfect. Do you ever come down here to Windsor and spend some time at home?
Yeah, I've been actually, in the last month and a half, I've been there twice. I have my charity golf tournament that we do toward the end of July. And then I was just in town for my brother's member guest, you know, golf tournament. So I'm there 3-4 times a year. And then mom and dad kind of come down this way, spend a few months during winter.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to talk about your golf tournament actually in a little bit here. I know we just missed it back last month, but just about 2 years ago, I think 2016, you were inducted into the Windsor Essex Sports Hall of Fame. Was it cool to come back down here and do that whole ceremony?
Yeah, it was great, and definitely humbled by that. It you know, being honored to be a part of the Essex County Hall of Fame. And you know, it's kind of one of those things. You look back at all the hard work, and it's great to be recognized. I mean, I couldn't do it without the supporting cast, my family, you know, my children, all my coaches, everyone that was in my corner, kind of, you know, pushing me to succeed, and everybody pulling on the rope the same way. So it's definitely a great honor, and it's something to be proud of for sure.
So it all kind of came full circle, coming out of Windsor, going through your NHL career, and then coming back home to be inducted into that Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, I mean, it's 20 years. It's actually more than 20 years with all your minor hockey, but having the, you know, being fortunate to play 19 years, play a lot of games and experience a lot, and to be recognized for it, it's definitely humbling.
Yeah, you hit the 1,000 game mark, didn't you?
Yeah,
man, that's a lot of games. Like you said, 20 seasons, that's definitely something to be proud of. But a little bit more about Windsor specifically. When you come down here, is there anything specific that you like to do, or is it a lot of just visiting family and stuff like that?
Well, visiting family, and my brother's a member at Point West, so when I'm not at my mom and dad's house, you can find me at Point West playing golf, and, you know, the kids kind of hanging out with grandma and grandpa. And yeah, other than that, kind of go hang out. Not much, you know, just enjoy my time there, kind of see some friends, but really spend that time to hang out with the family.
Okay. It seems like you're a pretty big golfer. I want to talk about the Ed Jovanovski Charity Golf Tournament, actually. I know we missed it last month, like we mentioned earlier. But when did it start, and how did that all come to be?
Well, it was founded a couple years ago. My mom went through breast cancer treatment, you know, probably 4 years ago. You know, she's a survivor, and I just thought that it would be a good opportunity for me to get back to my roots and help out a great cause. I mean, my mom's in that position of survival because of breast cancer research. I mean, they gotta do it somehow, and whatever way we can contribute. It was a great opportunity for both ends. We get to have a little bit of fun. We get all my buddies to open up their wallets and spend some money, and you know, raise money for a great cause. So we're happy to say in 2 years we've given $100,000 to the breast cancer research you know, fun. So we're thrilled about that. And we already set the date for next year, July 19th. So we're looking forward to that event again.
Wow, man, that's truly unbelievable, the money that you've raised. And a lot of people can relate to that. So that's a great thing that you're doing there.
Yeah, we're proud of it. It's definitely we got my brother and his girlfriend that head up the committee, and I have a couple of Scott Elliott who is a dear friend of mine, and got some good people behind it. Obviously, with the NHL ties, we get some great things. We get some great guys that come in, and you know, we have fun for a couple of days. That's what it's all about, and raise some good money.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's what it's all about, is just having a little fun too.
Yeah.
But do you got anything else going on right now in life after hockey? You think coaching might be a possibility for you? Are you doing anything in coaching already?
I did a little bit here down here. Olyokin had started a South Florida Hockey Academy, which does really well. I was helping out last year, you know, when I could. My kids are at that age right now where, you know, just like to be around. As a life of a hockey player, you're not around much during your playing days. So I have two that are starting middle school. I have a junior in high school, and I have a sophomore in college. So they're kind of spread all over the place, but they're, you know, with their activities and everything, and it kind of keeps me busy. But I have a few business ventures that I'm involved in, you know, nothing important to talk about, just kind of some stuff that I'm passionate about, and kind of doing that and keeping busy, playing a little golf. That's about it.
Yeah, man, it's good that you started your career pretty young. So now you still have a lot of years ahead of you. You're still young. You can have fun with your family and do whatever you want to do, right?
Yeah, my daughter's 20 this month, and you know, me just turning 42. I feel like the age gap is, you know, fairly close, where I can kind of relate to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So being close with my kids is really important to me, and we as parents try to do the best we can to kind of get them up and rolling, and so far, knock on wood, everything's been good.
Yeah, man, like you said, the age gap is good, and you guys can have a lot of fun out there in Florida. So again, I just want to thank you for taking the time to do this. It was awesome, and it was great to hear from you.
Yeah, Drake, anytime, man, no problem.
Okay, my name is Drake Damore, and this is Win City Sports Podcast. Thank you for streaming or downloading this episode with Ed Jovanovski. I hope you enjoyed that quick little interview with him there. It was cool to catch up and talk to some guys from Windsor that spent a lot of time in the NHL. And there's one thing that didn't make it onto the radio there, but I thought it was a cool little thing afterwards when we were just kind of shooting the breeze after the interview there. Kind of got on the topic of podcasts, and if you didn't see the video on our social media from earlier today, here's a little preview of what to expect at some other podcasts around the world.
Yeah, that podcast stuff's getting pretty big. I know I just did one with a guy that does the Panthers play-by-play, Steve Goldstein.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
I did one with him a few weeks ago, and I know my buddies do that Spittin' Chiclets.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were saying I was going to be on Spittin' Chiclets.
No, it's like I text Ryan Whitney because I played with him. I'm like, Witz, when are you going to get me on your podcast? He's like, fuck, I thought you'd never ask. You really want to come on? I'm like, oh, come on, man. Fuck. I got some good stories over 20 years.
So there you have it. Jovo will be making an appearance on Spittin' Chiclets hopefully sometime soon. It's pretty cool, and you know, you're a big fan of something like that. Like I said to him on the phone there, that's what I thought he was going to say was, yeah, I was on that Spittin' Chiclets, and it's funny that he, you know, I'm going to text Whit and see if I can get on the show. Thought that was cool, but now we have lots of time here on the podcast, much time as we want, really, to talk about some local sports news. Going to kick things off with our Windsor Lancers in regards to our football and soccer teams, as most recently have kicked off their seasons. Although we're only a week into the university sports season, no Lancer teams have picked up a win yet. The men's and women's soccer teams fell to Guelph and York this weekend with two games each. The football team lost 53-37 to Waterloo in their home opener. And the men's and women's soccer teams have back-to-back games tomorrow and Saturday, taking on Brock and McMaster respectively at Alumni Field. Men's basketball kicks off Saturday afternoon with a 4 p.m. game at the St. Denis Center against Lincoln Memorial. And football has a Labor Day game on Monday, taking on the Carleton Ravens at 3 p.m. at Alumni Field. The Windsor Spitfires opened their annual training camp earlier this week, running practices and scrimmages with recruits, prospects, and hopefuls at the WFCU Center. And of course, a lot of returning players. It seems like Chris Playfair and Matt McDougall, two returning players, were standouts, along with new signee Liam Foodie. That as for the skaters. A lot of newcomers in goal came out, including James Walker and Owen Schiller. The annual blue and white scrimmage is going down right now at the bowl at the WFCU Center. If you missed it, then fortunately you missed it, but it was a free game out there at the WFCU Center, the Spitz home ice. The Windsor Express and St. Clair College Athletics held the MBL of Canada's draft combine for the third year in a row last week at St. Clair College Sportsplex. Each team drafted a selection of players after reviewing and experiencing their skills during the combine. During the event, the Express traded Braylon Rayson to the Sudbury Five for their second-round pick of the draft. Windsor needed to trade for another pick since they had previously traded away their first-round pick. The Windsor Aces hockey team are back for their second season in the GMHL. They've announced their schedule for the 2018-19 season, and they kick things off at 80 Knox Arena on September 15th. The full schedule can be found on their website. The Ambassador Cup went down last weekend in Detroit at Farewell Field between the Detroit Cobras and Windsor Rogues Rugby Club. This was the 18th annual Ambassador Cup, the friendly yet competitive game between Windsor and Detroit that takes place every year. And this year, unlike last year, Detroit took home the championship in a pretty close game. I know Windsor didn't have their best season, but 32-22 was the final score. So 10-point deficit was pretty close game for our Rogues and the Cobras. Looks like number 9, Ben Ray, was Windsor's man of the match. Seems that he was solid tackling and ball distribution all afternoon. So we'll be waiting for next season again for some rugby action here in Windsor. And finally, the AKO Fratmen evened out their record to 1-1 this past Sunday when they traveled to Niagara to take on the Regional Raiders. They took a decisive 73-14 win. They play at home this Saturday when they welcome the Ottawa Sooners to Alumni Field at 7 p.m. But it looks like that's going to be it for this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. New episodes of Wind City Sports air every Thursday, live at 8 p.m. on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. And replays are now on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. for your drive home. You can hear every single one of our episodes on WindCitySports.com, or if you have SoundCloud, iTunes, or wherever podcasts are found, any app or site we're on there, simply search up Wind City Sports and you'll easily be able to find us. We also have some exclusive stuff on YouTube. Check out our coverage of the Can-Am Karate Knockdown Open here in Windsor, and we're still going to be presenting a podcast about that one day and a radio show, likely next week, if not the following week. We're going to see what pops up. I'm not too sure what we have lined up right now, but we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Simply search up Wind City Sports and you'll easily be able to find us. We'll be back next week on CJAM with a brand new episode and on the podcast. So until then, smell you later.